If you seriously need to save on groceries, and more for less is what you crave, Food City understands the struggle is real. That's why their high-quality store brands are such a great deal. Nobody does quality and savings like Food City.
One more hour to go here on this beautiful Wednesday. Hope everyone's having a fantastic day so far. It's early. Make it a good one. What do we got coming up here, Logan?
Well, we got a little over-under coming up here in just a moment, brought to you by, like it is every single Wednesday, by Avalon Golf and Country Club. Tennessee baseball got a win over Bellarmine. Said it. I was supposed to ask you.
You're not going to get me now. Bellarmine. It's not that hard.
NBA preview tonight. It's Celtics. Ooh-hoo-hoo. Big win.
Come on, dude.
We'll see.
Come on, C's. It's at home. Let's do this.
So let's jump right into it. Over under brought to you today, like it is every single Wednesday, by Avalon Golf and Country Club. Okay, so Ainge, talking all morning about Will Levis potentially being a first-round NFL draft pick in next year's draft. A lot of mock drafts have had him going that. We've also seen some other mock drafts have some other SEC quarterbacks taken in the first round. Number of SEC quarterbacks taken in the first round of next year's NFL draft. Over, under 2.5.
Bryce Young, Will Levis, and Richardson? Is that the third thought there?
Yeah, him or Rattler, I've kind of seen.
Oh, Rattler. God.
No one's given Will Rogers any love.
They should give him more love than Spencer Rattler.
Fair.
Personal opinion.
That's fair.
His game is sloppy, dude. He throws so many picks and bad decisions. He's like a good athlete in the Big 12, and he scrambled, made a bunch of fun plays, but he made so many dumb ones. Spencer Rattler makes more really dumb mistakes than all the other guys combined. That's why I'm out on him. He's got a long way to go. I'm going to say Richardson plays really well, but he doesn't work himself into the first round. I mean, if he were to go, maybe a second rounder. You know, like okay. He's not far from it, but I'm going to say under because I think you got two. I think you got Bryce Young and Will Levis.
I'm going to take the under as well. Like I've said all morning, I'm not buying the Will Levis train. I'm not going to get on there. I will not allow anyone to convince me that he's going to be a first-round pick until I see it next April. I'll say two. I'll go under. I'll say Bryce Young's probably a given. He's probably going to go in the top 10. I'll take one of Anthony Richardson, Spencer Rattler, and I'll throw Will Rogers in there. I'll take one of those three guys to boom and to potentially work their way into a first-round draft pick.
Those guys are going to get drafted ahead of Will Levis.
Yes, because I think that there's a higher
ceiling. Turn your microphone off.
I think that Spencer Rattler and Anthony Richardson have a bigger ceiling athleticism-wise than Will Levis.
You think Spencer Rattler is a better – he's a pocket quarterback.
He ran a little bit his first year at Oklahoma.
He's not even dual threat. He ran a tiny bit. Will Levis is jumping over dudes in every single game they play. Spencer Rattler is an average athlete at best. They don't even ask him to do the zone read really at all because they don't want him to run because he's not good at it. He can juke. He can't juke anybody. He's the guy that if he runs straight ahead, he's pretty athletic. So yeah, you know, he can go get some yards, but he's not a runner at all. If that's what South Carolina wants to do with him, then they're going to be terrible.
I'll take one of those guys to boom. I mean, I could be way wrong.
You are.
It's happened before. I don't think it's a hot take saying I'm not buying it with Will Levis.
None of those other guys are,
not.
Though. You don't have to buy that, but none
of those
other guys are.
I want to wait and see Anthony Richardson. I think, you know, first round love this year is a little bit crazy just because he started one game last year.
He's got the
physical
tools.
He does, indeed. But
you know how good Spencer Rattler would have to be to get drafted over one of these guys that they're going to grade out from an ability standpoint above him? He doesn't even have as good an arm as those other guys do. Richardson has a better arm than Spencer Rattler does. Levis has a better arm than both of them combined.
Yeah.
I can't get with you on the Rattler one. I'll give you Richardson.
It's fair.
Will Rogers is going to be a good player, but I don't think he's a first rounder.
Yeah, no one's giving him any love.
Yeah, he's not a first rounder.
Don't sleep on Stetson Bennett, I might add.
Oh God.
Wins for Tennessee baseball this
give
weekend.
Give me Stetson Bennett over Spencer Rattler.
Yeah. Who's going to be better pro? Will Levis or Stetson Bennett?
Yeah.
Let's
debate Spencer Rattler or Stetson Bennett. Give me Stetson Bennett in the fifth round all day long over Spencer Rattler.
Coming
throwing
up
the
next
ball to the
on
other
first
team.
Take.
Throwing
up,
the ball to the other team.
Up next on first take.
It's terrible.
Hey, just win, baby. He won a national title. He has more than
no,
Will Levis.
No, Rattler. I'm talking Rattler.
Oh.
Rattler's terrible.
Oh, okay.
He's terrible.
Wins for Tennessee baseball this weekend against Georgia. Over under 2.5.
Under, I say we get the series, but they beat us once. If it was...
You're saying over two. Excuse me, under two.
I'm saying under two.
Okay.
If we wax them tomorrow, then I would like to amend my pick to a sweep.
Okay.
If we beat them, I'm still thinking, you know, that's probably a split. The last two, we'll see. How good would Georgia play if we win Friday, Saturday?
Mm-hmm.
Probably not. Very good, you know, Thursday, Friday. They probably aren't playing very good on Saturday. Once the series is over, it's kind of hard. You know, Tennessee did it last weekend, but.
I'll take the under at two as well. I think, you know, game one tomorrow night, Chase Burns on the bump. You would assume he, you know, he pitched pretty good the last couple of the weekends. You will think that he's going to come out, have a good performance. So I'll say a win Thursday. I'll say a win Saturday because, I mean, all Drew Beam does, all that dude does is just.
He's a beast.
He just wins. I mean, who saw that coming?
These guys have to pitch here for two more years.
That's just unfair.
I love that about baseball.
You have a really good
starter.
It's
like football. It's like you get a guy who's
good.
You get a guy who's good, he'll go, oh, yeah, he has to come back.
Yeah.
These guys are first-rounders that are forced to continue to pitch for us. I freaking love it.
The weekend rotation
for
Tony
Vitale is going
to be good.
These guys would all be gone. Imagine how fun it would be to watch Kennedy Chandler play for even just a second year.
Yeah.
If it was two instead of one, that'll never happen.
So I'll take the under. I think they get Thursday. I think they get Saturday with Beam on the mound. Saturday, you won that game. I feel very, very confident that that's going to be a sweep, but I'm going to say under. I think they get two. Ja Morant potentially out for the rest of the playoffs. So games left for the Warriors-Grizzlies series. They play tonight. Over under 1.5. Do they go back to Golden State for a game six? Or is it game five over, book it, it's done tonight in Memphis? What do you think, Ange? Over under 2.5.
You go first.
I say under, it's over tonight. You're without Ja Morant. I get you got very, very close to beating him last game. You only lost by 3, and that game was in doubt late. The Warriors had to have a big comeback in the fourth quarter. I get that. Closeout game, Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, no Ja Morant at home. It's going to be tough for the Warriors, but I think it's done tonight.
I think it's done tonight, too, under. I think it's done tonight, too, because Memphis played as good as their team is capable of playing for almost the entire game.
Had a bad fourth quarter.
But without Ja Morant, they play, like, asking them to play better than that to get a win, I don't think that's realistic.
They're also
they
just a year too early.
And they just play once. It's like you go out there, you know, and you're injured and you play and you do everything you can. And you're going, I couldn't have done any better tonight, but we still lost. So then you come out, you're like, okay, so now I have to do better than that to beat these guys. And you already did your best. It's like, I don't see that whole team without Ja gelling like that another time back to back. I just don't see. That's too hard in sports. So under.
Yeah, I would feel more confident about the Warriors, the Grizzlies' chances next year if they were without Ja Morant. Just, you know, allow this young Grizzlies team to bake for one more year. I've said all offseason, I think that the Grizzlies are just a year too early. But hey, Ja Morant.
They wouldn't be with him.
Oh,
they
could easily
be winning this thing.
I think that they win tonight if Ja Morant does indeed play. So I'll take the under.
He's doubtful, but he's not going to play.
He's a bone bruise in his knee.
Do you know? Well, if that's the case, it's not going to get worse. So if they can dope him up and wrap some special seaweed,
how he
lattice
hurt it's very weird
craziness
too. Did
or
you
something.
See the video?
It was
Jordan
nothing.
Poole kind of pulled back on his knee. They're going after
he
a loose
didn't
ball.
Do anything.
It was very weird.
Only NBA people would be watching that and be like, he hurt him.
Yeah.
All the Memphis fans, oh, he hurt him. No, come on.
We're gonna start,
come on. Give me a break.
It's the
it hurts because it's your best player who's one of the best players in the NBA, but come on.
Yeah, so I will take the under. I think it's done tonight. Final one. Points for Giannis Antetokounmpo tonight. Over under 30. He's averaging 32. this series, he scored 28 and 24 in the two games in Boston. Does he get over 30 tonight?
No. Oh. Yes.
I will say over. He scored 42 in game 3 and he scored 34 in game 4.
Yeah. But the 34 was quiet. He's getting, I don't know how many rebounds he has, like 15 or 18.
He had 18 rebounds.
18 rebounds or something crazy like that. I think it's over, and because I think it's over is where a lot of my stress is for my Celtics tonight.
He scored 42 though, and the Celtics won game 3. No,
fair, but
excuse
the rest
me, excuse
of the team,
me, lost game 3, won game 4. Excuse
the,
me,
the rest of their team's playing pretty good too. This is a matchup where both teams should be 100% confident that they're going to be the ones that go in there and win, which usually means you have a very tight, good, close ball game, and then.
It's too evenly matched.
Who's going to close it? Yeah, who's going to close it? Is Tatum going to hit a jump shot? Is Giannis going to take the ball to the basket and get an and one? Who knows? But I'll take the over. I think he's going to play good.
I'll take the over as well.
He's too good not to play good.
I agree. I'll take the over as well. I will say, though, it's going to sound crazy. I think if Giannis goes for, if he gets 40 tonight.
Well, they're not going to win.
The Celtics aren't going to win.
Yeah.
If he's around that 33 range.
It's a game.
I think the Celtics win tonight. Because I think he's around that 33 range.
If he doesn't, then I think the Celtics are going to beat him. You know what I mean? It's kind of like Giannis scoring 34 does not mean the Bucks won. It just means it's going to be a close ball game at the end because the Celtics have the better team top to bottom.
Yeah, without Chris Middleton, that's kind of thrown up.
With Middleton in there, I think that the Bucks would look just like they did last year.
I agree with you.
He's a top 20 player in the NBA.
Middleton?
Close.
He's that fringe, yeah.
He can score.
He's very solid.
He's a top 15 scorer. He does a lot of other stuff well, but when he gets on, he's better than Giannis.
He's one of the best number twos in,
For sure,
second scoring option in
the
NBA.
I pick him
right
over
now.
James Harden. All-inclusive, everything about him, how they play defense.
Yeah, I think you get that takeover factor more with James Harden.
He didn't do it anymore.
He played good the other night.
Once.
It's true. He's also a lot older. I don't know how old he is. He's played. He has some his miles
beard,
on his.
His beard is from the Civil War.
Yeah. That beard is something
else.
He's
got a World War II beard. That thing has been there forever.
It's not as bad as Bad Tank Andy's, though. That's how we play Over Under. Play it every Wednesday at 11 o'clock. Brought to you by Avalon. When are you going to take me out there? That's a good question.
Well, when am I going to have time to take you out there? I got three kids, all the time.
We'll go play tomorrow at Holston Hills.
Where's Holston's? Wait, that's too far.
We'll be out there tomorrow for the Visit Knoxville Open.
Oh, is that where it's at?
Yeah, Holston Hills.
Oh, okay.
We'll just roll up to the first tee and play in the yep.
Sorry, I got this, boss.
Yeah, we got it. Pros, just step aside. We got you.
Can you not be on the box while I'm teeing off, please? Thanks. Back up.
Back up. Brought to you by Avalon every single Wednesday. Coming up next, Ainge, Tennessee baseball. Any concerns about peaking too early? We'll see. I say not, but we'll work through it.
Better than peaking in high school.
That's true. Alongside Eric Ainge and Chris Bernard, I'm Logan Ward. Coming up next, right here on the Eric Ainge Show.
Coming straight off Chris Bernard's iPad, cell phone, Apple Music, Spotify.
What song
Amazon
is this?
Amazon Music. You probably don't even know what this song is. Don't worry about it. It's not your song. You probably like it, though, because you like lame music like this.
Lame music?
It's kind of lame.
We're playing Gangster's Paradise next, Chris.
No, we're not.
You'll never be allowed to produce again.
I'm going home.
Just kidding. He's here tomorrow, so.
Where are we at tomorrow?
Holston Hills.
Nice.
For the Visit Knoxville Open, we're just going to roll up to the first tee and say, step aside, web.com tour pros. Logan Ward and Eric Ainge got it covered from
here. One of the guys on that tour, I have one of his clubs. It was left here by someone who works with them when they come here.
Okay.
And he gave it to me.
Well, let's bring it to him tomorrow. We can reunite.
I don't know whose it is. And then I broke my driver. So it's a hybrid 3-4 iron.
What brand?
That I can hit. I have no idea. But I can hit. It's a combo 3-4 for the height and the swing speed. So the shaft works because I swing fast.
Yeah.
And I can hit it 240 to 250 and straight.
That's good for a hybrid, yeah.
Almost every time.
That's really
good.
It's
technically like a 4-iron.
Oh, okay. Oh, heck, that's really good then.
But it's better than my driver. I get my driver like 340, but, you know, it's one of those. It's look out.
A big slice.
Look out.
Yeah, a big slice.
Yeah.
There you go. So, Ainge, last night, Tennessee beat who?
Bellarmine.
There we go. We're learning.
Bellarmine.
Bellarmine. It's, you know, Beller it's all
sucked.
The same.
Beller doesn't matter.
Atlantic
Beller,
Sun,
who cares?
What are you going to do? Tennessee beat him once again, 11-5 last night. 3 Vols homer. Tennessee coming off that kind of exercised a little bit of demons there, beating their lost their first ever series on the road at Kentucky in SEC play over the weekend. So, Ainge, with that being said, are there any concerns? And this isn't just a Tennessee question, a Tennessee baseball question. This is just a baseball question in general. What is the concern that Tennessee baseball might have peaked too early?
Like the kid that peaks in high school?
Right.
That sucks.
Like they just got way too hot, too early. We know baseball, game by game, it's kind of different. You could hit really good in one game, then 2 days later, you can't hit at all. The thing is, you want to kind of exercise and not be good in the back half portion. You already won the SEC East. You're going to be probably the number one seed in the NCAA tournament, I would imagine. You don't want to have a performance like you did on the road at Kentucky, in Hoover, in the regionals, super regionals, Omaha. What kind of concern level for you right now is there that that could happen?
As we sit here today, not much at all.
Because the trends are what they are.
Listen, this team should have lost a series 2-1 a long time ago. The fact that they didn't is what's incredible. I mean, there's teams, great teams, that go on to, you know, you don't lose more than one or two. You know, there's even been teams that have lost a few.
Well, there's really good teams that have been swept.
Yeah. So, like, the fact that it took a cold, rainy, empty at Kentucky playing bad series
just
for us to lose.
Just say Lexington when you say cold, nobody
just
there.
Just playing in Lexington.
Rainy.
Yeah. And
just
and
another weekend.
We were sleepwalking through it and we lost. I'm not overly concerned, and I don't think Tony Vitello and this team is overly concerned. I remember playing in games where you just didn't play good. You know, it's just, it happens. You play and you're like, man, I mean, I know we should have won that game tonight. There's no way you can convince me we shouldn't have, not just from me, but from everybody included, from the trainers to everybody. We didn't bring it tonight. And we lost a game we shouldn't have lost. And that is the worst feeling in sports ever. If you're a good football team, you don't do it 2 weeks in a row. If you're a good baseball team, you don't do it 2 series in a row.
Luckily, it is baseball, though. You play again 2 days later. In football, you have to play a week later. And that means a whole lot more.
You get to play 2 games later for fun and to get feeling good again. And then you get to turn around in 2 more days. And you're starting your next series. That's why I love the fact that this is a Thursday, Friday, Saturday series. If this was Friday, Saturday, Sunday, I still think we'd be fine. But I can't stress enough what a big deal to me that it is to me that this is a Thursday night start. This works out in our favor because you get chomping at the bit. You can't wait to play. You're Chase Burns. You're a freshman.
It's on national TV,
too. It's on national TV. You can't wait to play, and you just want to get it started and get it over with. Mm-hmm. And I remember playing in games like that, too. And you go out there, and usually when you're like that, as long as it's not over the top, as long as it's just legitimate, like, pregame anxiety, like, can we please kick this thing off already? That usually bodes well for the team that's in that mode.
I agree.
And that's why I think Tennessee's going to beat Georgia tomorrow. And when they do, and we have this conversation on Friday, and we say, all right, after the win last night, what's your level of concern for is Tennessee peaking too early? If you did a poll, I think you'd get 5% of people that would say concerned. Right now, I think you'd get 25%, maybe 30%.
I don't know if concern's the right word. I just think it's recognizing it's baseball. You can get hot and you can not be hot at the very wrong time. And whenever you're not hot at the wrong time, if you're not hot in a regional, super regional, Omaha, like what happened last year, then you
go
home.
I don't think people would be concerned about the overall ending point of our season. But are you concerned that we've already played our best baseball? That doesn't mean that, you know, our not best baseball could still be great and
That's
still
fair.
Go win.
Sure.
But it's like, have we hit the ceiling for this team. I'll bet if you ask that right now, I think you'd see like, level of concern. Have we peaked too early?
Have we maxed out already?
Have we maxed out already? Level of concern. I think you'd see 20 to 30%. I think you'd see, and those fans are the ones going, well, damn, I hope not. And I don't really think so, but you're asking me if I'm a little concerned. I'm a little concerned. That's natural. That's normal as a fan. None of us have any say over what the baseball team does and how they play.
Right.
You know, I had to learn that after I was done playing. You have a say in it forever, and then you don't, and it's exhausting. And I don't know how fans do it. You care so much about something that we have zero control over. Fundamentally, my brain doesn't wrap around that. If I don't have any control over it, then I'm out. I can't do anything. But that's not true with sports. We love our sports teams. This team right now. Now, to my point though, when we go beat Georgia tomorrow,
we both took the under, winning two games this weekend.
And I still would be. I'm still with that. Again, if we win Friday, I think we could sweep them.
Oh, I agree with you.
But I still, even if we lose, I still think we can go take the next two.
I agree.
But if we did that same poll Friday morning after we beat Georgia, I think you'd see it down in the 5%. I mean, you're talking one game, which means everyone is, if you're on the fence at all, you're on the fence, but you got both legs hanging down to the we're going to be fine side.
They also, the big thing about this baseball team, and, we've talked about it ad nauseum, it's whenever this team looks to have their back up against the wall, we've said it, they take on the life of their head coach better than
anybody I've seen in a long time
now,
in sports.
Anyone in sports. I can't think of anyone. Alabama football, the Patriots with Belichick, maybe some of the old.
Yeah, but those guys, it's different. That's a do as I say.
Sure.
And Vitello's right in the mix with them.
Sure, but now Tennessee baseball, whenever that moment seems to be really big, that's when they perform to their best. Whenever they go on the road to a packed sellout crowd at Ole Miss, at Vanderbilt, on the road at Florida, you go and you just
give me Omaha.
You win every game.
It'll be big and full, and we're going to ball out.
That's what happens.
Now, I'm not worried. I'm really not worried about it. I think they're going to go play really good tomorrow night, and I think that everyone who is will be able to just kind of take a deep breath.
But we both agree that, if they win Friday, because I think, everyone feels good about Chase Burns on the mound. We'll see who goes Friday night.
You'd have to.
Tidwell, he's thrown better. He's starting to, work back into what he was doing last year. He
Which
came
is
in
what
earlier
you want to work
season.
Him into
exactly.
right now. Get him now.
Yeah,
get
he was
better.
Hurt. He didn't, throw that well earlier on in the season. Drew Beam on Saturday, as we mentioned, you got to have those two guys, bookend starters for Drew Beam and Chase Burns on usually Friday, Sunday, this week, Thursday, Saturday.
Look at the win-loss records. The numbers will tell you we're winning them.
And you have those guys for two more years.
That's the best part.
It's amazing.
You got a lot of these guys for a little while longer.
Yeah. We'll see. Alongside Eric Ainge and Chris Bernard, I'm Logan Ward talking Ainge's Celtics. Are they going to win?
Being a fan. I'm not kidding. I hate being a fan.
I think the Celtics are going to win tonight.
My life would be easier if I didn't care about Tennessee Athletics and the Boston Celtics.
I think the Celtics are going to win tonight. I'll talk Ainge off the ledge on the other side coming up right next, right here on the Eric Ainge Show. Last night, Tennessee baseball took down Bellarmine at home 11-5 in a midweek showdown. Drew Gilbert, Trey Lipsicum, and Blake Burke all homered in the win. Two blowouts last night in the NBA playoffs. The Heat took down the 76ers 120-85. The Heat lead that series 3-2. The Suns took down the Mavs 110-80. The Suns lead that series 3-2 as well. Heading back to Dallas. Major League Baseball, the Braves fell to the Red Sox 9-4. The Padres snuck by the Cubs 5-4. And the Brewers held off the Reds 5-4 as well. The Yankees, Aaron Judge, walked it off over the Blue Jays 6-5. And the Angels no-hit the Tampa Bay Rays, winning that game 12-0. Have a good afternoon. I'm Logan Ward.
865-656-9900 if you'd like to join us.
So, Ainge, let's all gather around here in the circle. We'll sit down, crisscross applesauce.
Just don't touch me.
Indian style, whatever you want to call.
You got to pay for that.
Okay. Let's talk about our feelings here. Your Boston Celtics play tonight, game 5 in Boston against the Milwaukee Bucks. Milwaukee Bucks, defending champs. Series tied 2-2. How do you feel about this game, Ainge? We need to know this. The listeners want to know. How does Eric Ainge feel about Game 5 tonight in Boston? You're thinking.
I have hope.
Okay.
But if you made me bet my own money on it, I don't know that I would bet on my team. Not to, like, if we win, I don't care if I lose. Not all that. I'm just saying, like, straight up.
Is this fan Eric Ainge talking, or is just...
No, this is family involved, as green gets. Group texting with Uncle Danny and Austin and my dad and everything during the games. We're all just a mess. And...
Oh, I bet Danny Ainge is a mess each and every...
It's,
I bet
his,
he's a mess.
Team. He put that entire squad, drafted them all, free agent, everything.
I bet he's a mess on a Tuesday night against the Charlotte Hornets or whatever they're called now. Against some no-name team that no one watches.
Well, it's just hard. It's kind of like we're saying, like I was saying with sports earlier, you go from having control to having no control. And if you still care about it, it is exhausting.
So the Celtics are 5.5-point favorites tonight. That seems like too many.
That seems a little high.
I think the Celtics win. That seems like that's too many points.
I think that it's easier for Boston to win. If everybody just has a good game for Boston, then they don't need one guy to score 35 or 40 because they all have 15 to 30, you know? That's an easier thing to ask, you know, Marcus Smart, how many are getting us tonight? 14. Grant, how many are you getting? 12. Tice, how many are getting? 8. Nice. Okay, that's good. We need that.
I think Horford. 12 and 14 from Smart and Grant Williams is. I
Horford,
think Boston
how many
are going to
get
that.
Us tonight? How about 17? Right? Jaylen Brown, how many are going to get us? 23. Tatum, 32. You win.
You take that.
You take it and then you win. What happens to Boston, though, is if some of these other guys don't produce theirs, then it turns into if Boston gets turned into the one-on-one game, then Tatum better be going nuts like he did last week.
So game one in Boston, the Celtics kind of had a weird, you know, layover from their series against the Nets, kind of an emotional letdown, I would say. Jason Tatum did not play great, 21 points.
That's bad for him.
Al Horford, 12 points. Jaylen Brown, 12 points. That's not great. Game two, though,
you need 10 to 15 more points easy between the two of them. Easy. If not more.
Oh, I'd say so, too. Game two, however, though, much, much better from Jason Tatum. He scored 29 points. Jaylen Brown chipped in with 30. You got 21 points from Grant Williams off the bench in game two.
And you can make up for that. If you get a performance like that where you're getting more than you expected, that like Horford getting 30 is... freaking awesome. Grant Williams getting 21 is freaking awesome.
You won't lose if Grant Williams scores 20 points.
No, he won't.
You won't lose.
No, because if he's doing that, then they're collapsing and they're corralling our ability to break guys off the dribble, which Tatum and Brown are incredible at it. Mm-hmm. I mean, they can get whatever shot they want on just about any possession. So you help off, and then Horford's nailing threes, and Grant Williams is nailing threes, and Marcus Smart is nailing threes, and these guys are shooting open shots, and they're making them. Then you have to stop helping. You're down 12, and you're going, we got to stop helping. And then Tatum's getting all the way to the rim. You know, Jaylen Brown's pulling up, shooting a little 5-foot floater right at the rim. So when we are playing good, now the difference is we don't have a player. Tatum has, but he doesn't often straight up take over the game. And they have one in Giannis. So if Giannis takes over the game, then you can be in trouble. If he scores 42, you're in trouble.
I asked you during over-under 30 points tonight. We both took the over, about that 33 range. If he gets 37-plus,
well, there's
Milwaukee's
your five, there's
not
your spread,
gonna,
there's your spread buster right there.
Milwaukee's not going to
If he
lose.
Scores 30, they will be in the game.
100%,
if he scores 40, they will win. So I'm with you. That's a lot of pressure to put on Giannis, though. Hey, if you want to be in a close game, you got to get me at least 30. If you want to win, you got to get me at least 40.
So I think
Middleton's
the Celtics
not out
win.
There. They have a trouble. They go through spurts where they don't score well.
So I think the Celtics win. I think it's a closer game. I wouldn't. I mean, I think 5.5 points is way too many. If I'm giving you a Logan's Locks bet right now, I would say take the Bucks plus the points because I think 5.5 is too many. So did I make you feel any better?
Not really.
Okay, sorry.
I don't feel better. Dude, we can be up 10 with 2 minutes to go, and I'm watching us play. I'm like, oh, not now. Don't do it now.
Don't do it now.
Don't do it now.
It's like the next bucket. That's like watching. That's what breaks
it's how
it.
I am watching like a Tennessee football game. I'm like, all right, we're up 8.
You're just hopeless.
There's
helpless.
Only 3 minutes left.
Right.
And I'm just a wreck. So, yeah. I mean, I'm just like everybody else now.
It's all of a sudden, then Ray Allen hits a three in the corner. And then, you know, Felipe Franks completes a deep ball to Tyree Cleveland. Will Greer,
like
Callaway.
12, there's like 12 of them that just...
Yeah, and that just keeps happening.
They just break your heart. Yeah, I mean, hopefully we don't ever have to... If we do anything, Heupel's not going to lose like that.
Yeah.
That's all-time terrible.
Other game of the night. On the western part of the state, Memphis is a part of the state. I can just consider Memphis their own little thing. Do they extend the series? No Ja Morant. He's potentially doubtful. Well, he is indeed doubtful for the rest of the playoffs, a bone bruise in his knee. Do you think that they extend it to go back to Golden State for game 6? Or is tonight, does Steph Curry, Klay Thompson just rip it out of the Grizzlies tonight?
I think they're too good and too good at closing. And I said it earlier, I'll say it again. Memphis played without Ja Morant so well. And they just got it stolen right out from underneath them, but they played so well.
Just a young team.
Them to all play that good and that together again is going to be hard. But they got the coach that could help them do it. They got a coach that could
you
help
know
them
his
do
name?
It. No, I forget it all the time.
Taylor Jenkins, I believe we talked
right.
about
that's
this.
Right. That's right. That's his name.
I could ask some random person on Market Square. They wouldn't
know
his name.
He is the next big thing in the NBA. Not only his team, but him himself. Memphis has it going on, dude. They're going to be good for a long time.
Who's the Celtics coach? What's his name?
If you wouldn't have asked me, I could have told you. You'd have to look it up.
I don't know either. Oh, well. Coming up next, Eric Gaines Show, we will discuss what did we learn today. If anything, we'll see. We'll get Chris Bernard in here as well. Figure out what we learned today. Coming up next, right here on the Eric Gaines Show.
Welcome back into the Eric Gaines Show. It's time for us to find out what we learned today here. We do that every day thanks to Gambusa's Barbershop.
You got a haircut yesterday.
I went there yesterday.
It looks good.
Yeah, Ryan hooked me up yesterday. If you're looking for a location, they've got two of them. And there's a website you can go to just to book your spot. Get in there. You get the massage, the hot towel, the fresh cut, the razor on the neck. It's a whole thing there at Gambusa's. And you can book your spot at GambusasBarbershop.com. Real quick, 8 people getting their haircut yesterday when I was in there. 8. They have 2 different spots at the one on North Shore.
Okay.
5 of them listen to the Eric Gaines Show.
Well, there we go.
How about that?
That's awesome. No, that's seriously.
That means we got at least 5 people listening right
now. We got 5 of them.
Woo, doggy. What did we learn today? We learned that Ime is his first name. I don't know what his last name is. It's like Udoka. What is
Udoka.
It?
Ime Udoka.
That's it.
Good coach.
Great coach.
Young guy, 44.
Yeah, great coach. He's done a really good job this all season long, but in the playoffs as well. If he wins tonight, I mean, whew.
You said to me, and I still haven't fully recovered from this. You think that Will Levis could be a first round pick?
Easy.
You were the first person that I've said that I've asked that question to that says yes.
These I'm also mock probably the only person seeing. You asked that knows anything about quarterbacks.
You did indeed play in the NFL.
There you go. So the dude has all the tools. He's big. He's strong. He's fast. He's smart. He's got a cannon for an arm. His highlight film is ridiculous. And if he plays like that again next year, I'm going to keep bringing it up. I am not saying that Will Levis is going to be as good as Patrick Mahomes. But Patrick Mahomes played on a 6-6 football team at Texas Tech and was so big and physical and athletic, and had a cannon, and could throw it sidearm, like Levis can too.
Is 6'3 that big for a quarterback?
He's big. He's, what is he, 6'3", 235?
6'3", 232 is what CBS has him listed at.
Same thing.
CBS, the mock draft has him going, one has him going first overall to the Houston Texans at number 1, and then another one has him going number 5 to the Giants.
Of all the quarterbacks coming out, I think he has, sitting here today, the easiest an NFL GM or scout watching would say his game projects to our league better than the other guys sitting here today. He's an easier pick than Bryce Young is. Bryce Young is 6 feet tall. He's kind of athletic. He's super accurate. But what we've seen lately is everybody that plays quarterback at Alabama is A, good because they were recruited to be so. They do want a Heisman Trophy. And yes, I'm telling you, if you made me pick right now today for my NFL quarterback, I would pick Will Levis over Bryce Young.
I'm going to hold you to this. I'm going to remember this.
Listen, here's the thing. If he plays bad, then he won't be a first-round draft pick. If he plays good,
then that's when I say I told you so.
If the team, well, I don't think he'll play bad. I mean, he doesn't have to play great because he's got all that other stuff they love and they want. They will rationalize Will Levis getting drafted every day of the week. They don't do that with everybody.
You think if he throws 24 touchdowns, 13 picks again next year and completes 66% of his passes, which is, it's good. You think that means he's a first-round pick?
He still could be a first-round pick.
If he has the same exact year.
Well, he won't have the same exact year. No quarterback in their second year when you're going in play. I mean, any of the guys. He's not going to get picked if he's not better.
Right,
For argument's sake, I still don't think he'd be off the table.
Wow.
I still don't think he'd be off the table.
You watched something different than I did last year.
He can do stuff that other guys can't do. And he's not going to play worse. He's going to play better. He'll throw 30 touchdowns and run for 12 and have stupid numbers. And their team will go 8-4 or something.
That's Kentucky football.
Yeah, I mean, 9-3 if he's really that good. Maybe 9-3. They're beating some teams they're not supposed to. But they'll watch all that film and go, oh, yeah, give me all that.
He lost his offensive coordinator, Liam Cohen. He's going back to the NFL. He came from
the NFL.
So
that's a challenge. That's a challenge.
I believe they also got another guy that's coming from an NFL team.
That's a challenge.
I can't remember his name.
I don't remember. I know who you're talking about. It'll be a challenge for him. He's not a guarantee. It's not like I'm saying none of those guys. If C.J. Stroud sucks, he's not getting picked in the first round. He's just so talented and has so many good numbers that he's an easy projection. If Bryce Young is throwing picks in the fourth quarter and Bama's not playing in the SEC championship game or something, he's not getting picked in the first round. He's one of those guys that, as good as he's going to be, he'll have 25 teams that value him up there, and he'll have 7 that don't value him at all.
Mm-hmm.
So
it only takes one. We also learned the potential scheduling format change in the ACC. No divisions, 3 permanent opponents, 5
that's not
rotating
official, right? That's a
it's not official. It's that's just kind of a that's an idea, but people do believe if the NCAA comes out and says, hey, you can decide who plays for your conference title game however you wish, no divisions, this looks like potentially the likely thing.
They should do something. Their conference sucks.
You liked it?
The SEC doesn't need to do it. I mean, ACC could go for something like that. A shakeup would be good. It'd get everybody talking about them again, looking at all their schedules. Right now, no one cares.
If it happened in the SEC, who were your 3 teams that you want to see Tennessee play permanently?
Bama, Florida, and Vanderbilt.
Okay, so
the 3 biggest rivals.
So 3 rivals.
You pick the 3 biggest rivalry games. Those move the needle. Everyone cares about those games. And then after that, who cares?
I said Kentucky, Alabama, and someone new. Throw Auburn in there.
Yeah. Auburn would need to be playing Georgia and Alabama and somebody else. We have a lot of tradition against Auburn. We've played them more than Florida. I mean, those games. Like,
you played Vandy more than anybody.
If you played a season and you didn't play Alabama, Florida, and Vanderbilt, to me, it would be an incomplete. Even if you were great, I'd be like, that's just not what I know. It's not what I know. It's not how I was raised here.
Even over Georgia, you think that Florida would feel more weird than not playing Georgia every year?
100%.
Okay, that's fair.
Without a doubt.
I think, yeah, there's more elite history there with Florida and Tennessee because, you know, Fulmer and Spurrier going back and forth in the 90s.
Tennessee and Florida have hated each other for a long time.
It was whoever won
Tennessee
that game
Georgia,
won the East.
It's kind of been up and down. It's just,
yeah,
you
one
still
team
don't
goes
like
on
them.
A run. Exactly, yeah.
You still don't like them, but from a playing standpoint, when you play against Florida, it's a significantly different week and vibe.
I get the Vanderbilt
Georgia.
Thing. I get why you say that. I get why a lot of people say that. They've been playing since the 1800s. There's a ton of history there. They've played more times than Tennessee's played anyone. I get all that. I just kind of look at, once again, people, this is coming from my perspective.
Which sucks.
I'm 23.
Which is terrible.
The younger fans do not really care about the Vanderbilt game. Maybe I'm off base from the people
cares
I talk
what the
to.
Young
no,
fans
sure,
want.
I get that, but I'm just saying from my perspective.
They don't buy tickets. They steal them from their parents who buy the tickets.
And sit in the student section, then
give
just
me a break.
Leave
who cares
halftime.
What the young people want?
I hear you. I hear you. Man, those 23-year-olds, aren't they something?
You're something.
Ainge, Holson Hills tomorrow. The
yeah,
visit Knoxville
fun.
Open.
Looking forward to it.
We're just going to roll up to the first tee and bombs away. It's the deal there. Chris Bernard, thank you, sir. We will see you again tomorrow. For Eric Ainge and Chris Bernard, I'm Logan Ward. This has been the Eric Ainge Show.
Perfect.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL Fan Festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draftaccess to register for free entry today.